You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Driving long haul, you see a lot of weird things on the road. Strange accidents, cars abandoned in the middle of nowhere, people walking along the highway miles from anything. You get used to it. You learn to keep moving, keep your head down, and not ask too many questions. Half of them you forget. The other half you tell at diners over bad coffee and cold eggs. But there's one story I don't tell. It was winter, 2021, and I was driving east on I-40, about an hour outside of Albuquerque. I had a long haul, carrying construction equipment to Oklahoma City. It was late, around 1 a.m., just me, the road, and the occasional 24-hour truck stop. No headlights in my mirrors, no streetlights, just the occasional reflective sign breaking up the darkness. I had the radio low, sipping from a half-empty can of Monster, trying to keep myself awake. The air was calm, the kind of night that makes you feel like the only person left on Earth. And then, boom. There it was. A pickup truck parked on the shoulder up ahead, hazard lights blinking in the dark. Normally, that wouldn't be anything unusual. Could be a breakdown, a flat tire, someone needing help. But as I got closer, something else caught my eye. The way the light from my high beams hit the pavement, there was a glint, like metal reflecting back at me. I eased off the gas. As the truck's hazard lights flickered, the glint became clearer. A line of spikes stretched across the road, barely visible in the darkness. That awful pit in the stomach feeling took over. That wasn't an accident. Someone had put them there on purpose. Instinct kicked in. I tapped the brakes, eyes scanning for movement. The pickup's driver's side door was cracked open, but no one was inside. That was enough for me. I wasn't stopping. I yanked the wheel just enough to shift into the empty oncoming lane, clearing the spikes by inches. The moment my tires hit solid pavement again, movement flashed in my side mirror. Two figures bursting from the ditch beside the road, sprinting toward my truck. My foot slammed on the gas. One of them had something in his hand. I couldn't tell what it was, but he raised it like he was aiming at me. I expected to hear a gunshot, glass shattering, but nothing came. I flew past them, my trailer swaying slightly from the sudden acceleration. I checked my mirrors again. The figures had stopped running. Instead, they stood there, watching me, faces lost in shadow. The pickup truck still sat there, hazard lights blinking like some kind of sick lure. I kept my foot down until I was a solid 10 miles up the road. Then, and only then, did I finally suck in a breath. I pulled into the next truck stop I could find, heart still hammering against my ribs. The parking lot was mostly empty, just a few rigs parked for the night. I grabbed my phone with shaky hands and called the highway patrol. I told them everything. The pickup truck, the spikes, the men who ran at me. The dispatcher was calm, almost too calm, like she had heard it all before. "We'll send a unit to check it out," she said. "What's your current location?" I gave her the details, and she told me to stay put in case they needed more information. I sat there for a while, watching my mirrors, waiting for that truck to roll in after me. It didn't. About 20 minutes later, my phone rang. It was the same dispatcher. "We sent a unit out," she said. "The truck is gone. No sign of spikes either." I stared out at the empty highway. "You sure you checked the right spot?" There was a pause. "We checked. And there haven't been any similar reports from that stretch of highway." That made my skin crawl. "What do you mean?" "I mean, we've never had an incident like this out there. No road spikes, no ambushes, nothing." That didn't sit right, not after what I had just seen with my own eyes. "So you're telling me this was the first time?" Another pause, a little longer this time. "As far as we know, yes." I didn't like that answer. I didn't like the hesitation in her voice. "You need anything else from me?" I asked, already knowing I wasn't going to get the reassurance I wanted. "No," she said. "But if you're heading east, stay alert." That was the last thing I wanted to hear. I let out a slow breath, staring out at the road beyond the truck stop parking lot. I sat there for a long time after that call ended, staring at the highway, thinking about what could have happened if I hadn't seen those spikes in time. If I had blown a tire, been forced to pull over, would they have just robbed me? Or was it something worse? I didn't want to know. The highway stretched ahead, dark and empty, just like it had been before. Only now, it didn't feel empty. It felt like something was waiting. And worse, whatever it was, it had picked that exact night to start. Eventually, I got back on the road. I finished my route, made my delivery, but I kept thinking about it. The way those men had sprinted toward my truck, the way they had just stood there after, watching me drive away. The way the truck was gone when the police arrived, like it had never been there at all. For weeks after that night, I kept my eyes peeled for anything.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Unusual. Every time I passed another stranded vehicle, I tensed up, scanning for signs of another setup. Then, about a month later, I overheard a conversation at a rest stop diner. A couple of other truckers were talking about an ambush attempt on a different highway. The setup was almost identical. Spikes on the road, a fake breakdown, masked men lying in wait. But the driver in that case hadn't been as lucky. He stopped, thinking he could help. He got jumped. They took everything, including his truck. It was later found abandoned, miles away, stripped clean. no one ever caught the guys who did it. That conversation stuck with me. It made it clear that there were people out there waiting for an easy mark. Now, every time I see a car pulled over on a deserted highway, I slow down. Not to stop, but to check. Because out there, in the middle of nowhere, you don't always get a second chance. I'd been delivering pizzas for about 6 months by then. Not the best job in the world, but the money was all right, and tips were a nice bonus. The only part I really hated was the late-night shifts. There's something about driving through empty streets in the middle of nowhere that gets under your skin after a while. That night, I was heading home after my last drop-off. It was just after midnight, and I was dead tired. I had spent my entire shift crisscrossing Sacramento, and now all I wanted was my bed. I took the back roads home, quicker, less traffic, and honestly, it was just easier than dealing with the drunks on the main roads. About 10 minutes into the drive, I noticed headlights behind me. At first, I didn't think much of it. It was a quiet two-lane road with barely any streetlights, so any car back there stood out. But something felt off about the way this one was moving. The car wasn't just behind me. It was too close. I tapped my brakes lightly, a polite back-off signal. Nothing. If anything, the driver moved in closer. All right, buddy. Road rage? Just go around me. I shifted into the right lane, expecting him to pass. Instead, he matched my speed. I shot a quick look in my mirror. His headlights were glaring, making it impossible to see inside. But I could feel the presence of whoever was behind the wheel. My fingers tightened around the steering wheel. Maybe it was just some impatient driver, someone being dumb. I pushed my foot down slightly on the gas, easing up to 55. He did the same, still there. My pulse started picking up speed with the car. This wasn't normal. I reached for my phone, still sitting in the cup holder, but what would I even say? Hey, 911, someone's driving behind me? I tried to let it go. Maybe it was just a coincidence. Maybe. He swerved. I barely had time to react before the car lurched into my lane, cutting me off. I jerked the wheel, my tires screaming as I swerved onto the shoulder. My heart slammed into my ribs. What the hell? I gasped, steadying the car. The driver didn't pull ahead. He just slowed down. Now he was in front of me, crawling along at 30 miles per hour. I needed to get out of there. I took a deep breath, forced myself to think. If I could get to a more populated area, I'd be fine. I'd lose him in traffic. I just needed to. He hit the brakes, hard. I stomped on mine, tires screeching as I barely avoided slamming into him. My whole body lurched forward, seatbelt digging into my chest. The car just sat there. No movement. No flashers. Screw this. I threw the car into reverse, swerving into the opposite lane. The second I did, his headlights flashed on. Next thing I knew, he was coming right at me, full speed. I didn't think, I just reacted. I slammed on the gas, shooting forward. My tires skidded as I swerved onto a side road, the turn so sharp I almost lost control. The car followed. I felt my breath catch. Why wouldn't he stop? I floored it, squeezing the wheel so hard my fingers ached. The road twisted through empty farmland. No streetlights, no houses. Just endless darkness stretching ahead of me. And behind me, that car, still there. I could feel the adrenaline flooding my system, making my hands shake as I tried to keep the car steady. If I crashed, if I spun out, if my engine failed, I was alone. I looked in my mirror again, hoping, praying to see him turning off. Instead, he was gaining. I took another breath, trying to keep it together. Think. Think. A turn was coming up. Left or right, it didn't matter. I yanked the wheel left. The car shot past me. For the first time in what felt like an eternity, I had space. I didn't stop. I didn't slow down. I just drove, tearing through the back roads like my life depended on it. Maybe it did. I stayed on that path for another 20 minutes before I finally made it back to the main road. I was shaking, my hands clammy against the wheel. Then, the headlights appeared again, ahead of me. I almost stopped breathing. There it was, that same car, pulling into a driveway like nothing had happened. I slowed down just enough to see. The driver stepped out, just a regular guy, middle-aged, wearing a jacket. Not a monster, not some horror movie villain. But when he turned toward me, he smiled. A slow, knowing smile, like he had won. I didn't stick around. I hit the gas and got the hell out of there. I don't know why he did it. Maybe it was just some twisted game. Maybe he was looking for an easy target. But that night, I learned something. Some people, they just want to watch you panic. And I'll never forget the way he looked at me, like he was waiting for me to come back. Kansas is one of those states where the highways feel endless, just miles and miles of road stretching through flat, empty land, the horizon blurring into the sky. I had been driving for nearly 5 hours, heading back home from a weekend visiting a friend in Colorado. It was spring 2020, early March, when the world was just starting to feel uneasy. The roads were nearly empty, the night air cool, and my gas tank was running low. I had passed a few major truck stops earlier, but I kept thinking, just a little farther, I'll stop at the next one. That was a mistake. Now I was in the middle of nowhere, my fuel gauge dangerously close to empty. I hadn't seen another car in nearly an hour, my phone signal jumping between one bar and none at all. I needed to find a gas station. Fast. Then, finally, I spotted it. A small, run-down gas station sitting just off the highway. The neon sign buzzed weakly, flickering between open and a garbled mess of dead lights. There were no other cars parked outside. Normally, I would have kept driving. Something about places like this, isolated, empty, barely functioning, never sat right with me. But I didn't have a choice. I pulled in, the gravel crackling under my car. The station had two old gas pumps and a tiny convenience store attached. The lighting was low, but I could see someone standing behind the counter. An attendant. Good. At least I wasn't completely alone. I parked at the first pump, shut off my car, and stepped out, rubbing my arms against the night air. The place was eerily quiet. No sounds of passing cars, no wind, just the distant hum of the neon sign and the faint buzzing of a security light above the door. I inserted my card. Nothing. I tried again. Still, nothing. Of course. A place like this probably hadn't had working pay at the pump since the early 2000s. With a sigh, I walked toward the entrance. The door chimed as I stepped inside. The attendant, a thin man in his late 50s with graying hair and tired eyes, looked up from his newspaper. He didn't greet me, just watched as I walked toward the counter. "I need to fill up," I said. "Pump one." He didn't move, didn't even blink. For a second, I thought maybe he hadn't heard me. Then, in a low, flat voice, he said, "Get back in your car and leave." I blinked. "Sorry, what?" His expression didn't change. His tired, sunken eyes locked onto mine. "Get back in your car and leave. Don't look back." I let out a nervous laugh, looking around. Maybe he was joking. Maybe this was some small-town way of messing with outsiders. But the way he was staring at me, It didn't feel like a joke. I looked at his name tag. Frank. Is the pump broken? I asked, taking a step back toward the door. Frank didn't answer. He just shook his head slowly. Not a no, just don't ask. The hairs on the back of my neck prickled. Something about this felt wrong. I turned toward the door. And then, in the reflection of the glass, I saw movement. Behind the gas station, two shadows. I spun around. The men stepped into the glow of the security light. One was tall, stocky, wearing a dirty flannel. The other was thinner, hood pulled up over his face. They hadn't been there when I pulled in. They had been waiting. My stomach twisted. Frank took a step forward, his voice just a breath of sound. Now. I didn't hesitate. I yanked the door open and darted toward my car. From the corner of my eye, I saw them move. Fast. I fumbled with my keys. Come on, come on, come on. The tall one was already halfway across the lot. His pace wasn't rushed. It was confident, like he knew I had nowhere to go. I slammed into my car, ripped open the door, and threw myself inside, locking it the second I hit the seat. The moment I turned the key, my headlights flicked on, and that's when I saw their faces. The tall one's lips curled into a smirk, the hooded one looking straight into my eyes. I barely had time to register anything when the tall one lunged. Bam! He slammed his hand against my window. I screamed, slamming the gear into reverse. My tires screeched as I whipped the car backward, nearly hitting the second guy. He didn't flinch. Didn't even step back, just stood there, watching. I shifted into drive and floored it. The gas station blurred behind me. In my mirror, I saw Frank step outside, standing at the edge of the light. His face was grim, like he had seen this before. Like he knew exactly what would have happened if I had stayed. I didn't stop driving, not until I reached the next town, nearly 40 miles away. I pulled up to a gas station with plenty of lights, parked under a security camera, and tried to calm down. My hands were still shaking. What the hell just happened? I pulled out my phone, but I still had no service. My stomach knotted. If something had happened to me back there, if I hadn't listened to Frank, no one would have known. Then, finally, my signal returned. I called the local sheriff's department. They weren't surprised. Yeah, the deputy sighed. We've gotten a few reports about that place. People stopping for gas and really bad things happening to them. My skin went cold. Did you catch them? I asked. A pause. No, he admitted. Every time we check, there's no one there. I felt sick. He gave me his number in case I remembered anything useful, but I knew I wouldn't call. There was nothing more to say. Just two men, waiting in the dark. And an attendant who had seen too many bad things happening to innocent people. I still think about Frank. I think he was just a good guy trying to warn people. And I wonder how many didn't listen. Driving Uber at night was usually pretty chill and drama-free. Fewer drunks than you'd expect, better fares, and quiet roads. I'd been at it for a while, mostly taking passengers to and from the airport, picking up late-night bar crowd, and early morning workers who needed a ride before sunrise. But that night, yeah, I'll never forget it. It started with a long pickup, an airport run about 40 minutes out of Boise. The request came in just before midnight. A guy heading home, apparently from a business trip. No small talk, just a simple, hey, how's your night? Before zoning out on his phone. Easy money. The drop-off was in a rural area, way past the usual city routes. A quiet neighborhood with nothing but wide open land beyond it. No street lights. Barely any houses. The kind of place where if you screamed, you'd have to hope someone was outside to hear it. As I pulled out of his driveway and headed back toward the main highway, I saw it for the first time. A sedan. Maybe 20 yards ahead, moving slow. No hazards on, no reason to be driving like that. At first, I figured they were lost or looking for a turnoff. I switched lanes to pass them. That's when the car swerved, hard, right in front of me. I slammed the brakes. The road was too narrow for me to go around, so I stayed put, watching. The sedan sat there for a moment, unmoving. Then, slowly, it inched forward again. I gave it some space, thinking maybe it was someone drunk or confused, and tried again. I eased into the left lane, and again, it cut me off. Now I was paying attention. The sedan didn't have an Uber sticker. No company logos, no dents or scratches that screamed junk car. Just a plain, dark-colored vehicle. I couldn't make out the driver, just a silhouette. I checked my rear view. Nothing behind me. We were alone. I backed off and let the car go ahead, keeping a few extra car lengths between us. I wasn't in a hurry. I could afford to wait this out. But then it stopped. Not at a turn. Not at a stop sign. Just right there in the middle of the road. I had that deep, gut-level feeling. This wasn't right. I kept my foot ready on the brake, expecting the driver to step out and wave me down for help. Maybe fake a breakdown. But no one got out. I flicked my high beams on. The sedan sat there. And then the reverse lights blinked on. Nope, I threw my car into reverse, giving myself distance. The sedan stayed put for a few more seconds before the brake lights reappeared, and it took off. Fast this time. I finally breathed out, feeling my hands relax. Maybe it was just some paranoid driver, someone trying to get rid of tailgaters. Then, 2 miles down the road, it happened again. The sedan was waiting, stopped in the middle of the road. No hazards, no signals, just waiting. I tapped my phone, pulling up the Uber app so I could share my location. My last ride drop-off was still on the screen. No service. Perfect. I checked my surroundings. Fields on both sides, nothing but open land and a few scattered trees. No houses. No lights. I wasn't about to stop again. This time, I gunned it. The second I hit the gas, the sedan shot forward too. I swerved to go around, but so did it. I honked, long, loud. My heart was hammering now. This wasn't just some lost driver. They were toying with me. I slammed on the brakes again, letting them keep moving forward. The sedan inched ahead like they were waiting for me to do something. Then, out of nowhere, they pulled off, just like that. A hard right turn onto a side road, no signal, no hesitation. I hit the gas, putting as much distance between us as I could. The next gas station was 4 miles away. If I could just get there. Headlights in my rear view. He was back. And this time, they were gaining on me. I swallowed the panic rising in my chest. 100 different possibilities flew through my mind. Was this a robbery attempt? Carjackers? Some psycho looking for a victim? None of those options ended well for me. I floored it. My car wasn't built for high-speed chases, but I pushed it anyway. The sedan stayed close. No honking, no lights flashing, just relentless pursuit. The road curved ahead, a gas station sign glowing in the distance. My one shot. I swung into the lot without really slowing down, tires screeching. The sedan kept going, barreled right past the station and disappeared down the road. I didn't move for a few seconds. Just sat there, gripping the wheel, forcing my breath to slow. Then I went inside. The clerk looked up, mid-yawn, probably expecting some drunk guy buying cigarettes. His bored expression shifted when he saw me. "You okay, man?" I turned toward the windows, my stomach twisting. The sedan was back, creeping along the shoulder of the road, rolling past the station slowly. I stepped further inside, out of view. The clerk frowned. "Dude?" I held up a hand. "Just hold on." The sedan rolled by, its windows pitch black. As it passed under the gas station lights, I finally got a glimpse of the driver, a man, middle-aged, smiling. And then he waved. Not a mocking wave. Not a casual flick of the wrist. The way he moved like he knew me, like he was sure I'd understand. I didn't move until the car was completely out of sight. The clerk let out a low whistle. "That guy with you?" I shook my head. "Damn," thought he was about to pull in. I forced down the lump in my throat. "Yeah, me too." I stayed inside for nearly an hour, watching the road, waiting, but the sedan never came back. Eventually, I pulled myself together and drove home, taking a different route. And now, whenever I drive those lonely roads, I start thinking, was it random or had they picked me on purpose? And if I hadn't gotten away, what would they have done next? If these stories made you rethink your next night drive, hit that like button and share this with someone who needs a reminder to stay vigilant. Have you ever had a terrifying experience on the road? Drop your story in the comments and email me. I'd love to feature it in a future video. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications so you never miss another terrifying tale. Stay safe, trust your instincts, and remember, some roads are better left untraveled. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next nightmare.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.